I love these guys.
Welcome to the Secondhand Lions podcast. John Drennan here with my friend Bill Radford, longtime Lions fans, taking this journey with the Detroit Lions to the Super Bowl. And Bill, I hope we're talking about it for this upcoming season. And, you know, we're in the midst of this offseason where we had the combine and now we've had free agency for about a month and we got the draft a couple weeks away. And it's pretty exciting times here. The Lions have picked up, I think, 12 new players in free agency. And of course, the most recent news, they signed one of their guys from last year, Avante Maddox, to shore up the safety room. And that's good news. But hey, with the draft coming up, I know you've been looking at a lot of different talking heads and mock drafts and things. What are you thinking here with this draft coming up and anything else?
Well, John, I'm always interested in this draft stuff because the experts are so often wrong about everything. So, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs, the Lions were pilloried about taking him. You know, you don't take a running back that high. And I remember looking at the video of the Lions draft room when the team before them did not take Jahmyr Gibbs. They started celebrating because they knew how good he was and how valuable he'd be for the team. And Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell were hugging. It's like they were just on top of the world because they got to draft Jahmyr Gibbs. So I've been looking at some of the experts, and one has eight different possibilities, most of them offensive tackles. Spencer Fano from Utah, Caden Proctor from Alabama, Caleb Lamu from Utah, Blake Miller from Clemson are all offensive tackles. And then Kedrick Falk from Auburn is an edge, and Akeem Mesidor from Miami is an edge. And then two cornerbacks, Jermaine McCoy from Tennessee and Avian Terrell from Clemson. Now, some at the top of that list, I've seen other people choose, like Proctor and Fano and Lamu. But the one, well, there were really two outliers that I noticed. But before I get there, Mason Freeling was shown up, the tackle from Georgia, right tackle. He was showing up on a lot of mock draft boards, but now I'm seeing him going early to Cleveland. So he may not be there anymore. But the two outliers, one guy had them trading their pick to Philadelphia and then choosing a linebacker, C.J. Allen from Georgia. But the guy that I really, out of all these talking head experts, that gets more right than wrong is Peter Schrager. And he has them choosing the guard out of Penn State, and I'll try not to butcher his name, Olavega Ione. Saw some video of him, and he just mashes people. So he's predicted that he'll be right off the bat a first game starter, potential Pro Bowler. And but that's not a need that we have identified. We've talked tackles, especially left tackle, edge rusher, and possibly cornerback for our draft. And Ione from Penn State as a guard. But if he's the best player available, they should probably take him.
You know, Bill, I heard a guy talking about that. If they took him, I see comparisons between how they talk about him and how they talked about Penei Sewell, that he comes out of college, steps right in, and could be a first-year Pro Bowler. And there is a lot of talk of them moving Penei Sewell to left tackle. So imagine, and this guy was saying, okay, you got Sewell next to Ione. Oh my God. Like, look out on the left side of that line. And, they could make that move and have Borum, the free agent, play right tackle, and they could still get a right tackle in the draft developmentally. But when I think about the idea of having two stud all pros along with what looks like a strong center in the new guy, Mays, and a strong right guard in their second year man out of Georgia, Rutledge, that could start to be building the absolute powerhouse offensive line, which I'm all for. And also, Bill, you and I were talking earlier, Brad Holmes. You never know. I mean, you mentioned Jahmyr Gibbs. And, I think there needs to be a new category for a player like Gibbs. Yeah, he's a running back, but he's a game breaker. And what they got there at number 12 when they drafted him was a game breaker.
Right. Sometimes the general managers, I shouldn't say sometimes, usually the general managers know more than the talking heads. Not football, but hockey. Steve Yzerman in one of his early drafts chose a defenseman out of Germany named Moritz Seider. And they talked to him after the pick and they asked him about reaching for Seider. And he said, I don't think it was a reach. Seider was rookie of the year. So
Yeah,
he knew what he was doing and the experts didn't.
and Bill, you would think a general manager is an expert, and they've oftentimes referred to Holmes as, is he really a glorified scout more than a general manager? And if he is, I'm all for that. I want a general manager that knows players.
Well, yeah, but it seems to me that he's has an awareness of the financial end of things too, the
Right.
cap. I think that's the reason that you wonder if this one guy's right and we do trade to Philadelphia and end up with a linebacker, why wouldn't we just keep Anzalone? Well, a rookie linebacker, assuming that he's close to the same ability wise, is going to be much less expensive than a veteran linebacker. And it's just part of the business, unfortunately, that players are let go for financial reasons just as often as they're let go for skill reasons.
Right. Well, Bill, I'm looking at something called the NFL Consensus Big Board, where they being, I think it's the NFL group, lists the top 100 players in the draft. So the Lions have the 17th pick. So let's look at what the big board has in terms of who's available. Likely at 17 and above, and right at 16 is Ione, the guard from Penn State we were just talking about. He shows up as the 16th best player overall, regardless of position. At 17, it's the tight end from Oregon, and 18 is the safety from Oregon. 19, Akeem Mezidore, the edge from Miami. 20 is Kendrick Faulk, the edge from that you were talking about earlier from Auburn, and 21 is Caden Proctor, the massive tackle out of Alabama. Frankly, if they took any one of those guys, not counting the tight end, I'd be pleased. So we're going to get a good player at 17.
I agree. John, you said but we were talking beforehand, you said you had the list of acquisitions, free agent acquisitions, signings. You wanted to talk about that. What do you have?
Yeah, and we're talking about the Lions free agency. And by the way, anyone that goes to the Detroit Lions app, they've got a free agency tracker. And I thought for our listeners, We've done a lot in free agency. I just do a quick review of who we have, and this is not in order of them signed. This is actually in alphabetical order. But real quick, we've got Ben Bartsch, who's an offensive lineman. These are new this year to the Lions, so he gives depth at the interior line. Then we have Larry Borum, offensive tackle, potential starter, right tackle. Teddy Bridgewater, of course, we're familiar with him. Then we have Damone Clark, a linebacker, to help give depth where we lost Alex Anzalone. We have Tyler Conklin, a tight end, who some think he'll be the number two tight end, might take over that spot from Brock Wright. Then we have Greg Dortch, who I've heard some experts talking about how he's really a great replacement for the loss of, help me out again, our wide receiver that went to,
Khalif Raymond.
who went to the Bears. Dortch is a really good return man and a good slot receiver with great hands. Then we've got Christian Eizen, who's a defensive back that apparently can play corner and safety, and they're pretty high on him in that D back room. Then Cade Mays, who hopefully will give us an anchor at center. Then Roger McCreary, another veteran cornerback. And then Isaiah Pacheco, somebody I'm really excited about if he can return close to the form he was at when he was Super Bowl running back for the Chiefs to replace the loss of David Montgomery. Then Peyton Turner, another offensive lineman to give depth there. I'm sorry, D lineman to give depth there. And then DJ Wonnum, another defensive lineman, an edge rusher to give depth there. So those are all the new guys, Bill. And then we have re-signed Miles Adams as a defensive lineman. Of course, our kicker, Jake Bates, Tom Kennedy, backup receiver and return man, Avante Maddox as a safety, Trevor Nowoski, linebacker, and Malcolm Rodriguez, linebacker, and Rock Ya-Sin, cornerback. So at this point, Bill, our defensive back room, the cornerbacks and safeties, is pretty deep. And especially depending on what happens with the return of Ennis Rakestraw and Kirby Joseph, Brian Branch, Terrion Arnold. We've got some depth there if all those people are coming back.
Well, depth never hurts because you know the history of the Lions the last couple of years, especially on the defensive side of the ball. We've just been racked with injuries, and hopefully that won't be the case this year. But it never hurts to have a backup at every position that you trust to take over if n necessary. You were mentioning beforehand that if it all comes together, we could be looking at another great season, 13-4, 14-3, on the way to the Super Bowl. But if it doesn't, we could be struggling to make the playoffs. So this is a real pivotal year for the team. And we'll see Brad Holmes' magic to see if he's constructed it so that it goes well and they win. I know there's a lot of people, I'm not one of them, but there's a lot of people that thought we really lost the brains of the team when Ben Johnson left. Bears went 11-6 last year, but they had a fourth place schedule. We'll see how they do this year when they have a division winning schedule and the Lions have a fourth place schedule. So it may be that that will help them turn it around, but it could be a very pivotal year for Dan Campbell too. You're 12-5, 15-2, 9-8. If they happen to slip again, The drum beat'll start. It's just the nature of the business, whether that's justified or not. So this is a very, very pivotal year.
No, Bill, you bring up some really good things there. And, one of the things attractive about sports is just you never know. And to win championships, there's so many breaks or even luck along the way. And you just never know. Like you bring up Ben Johnson. I think this year we'll find out how important Ben Johnson actually was because Drew Petsing may come in and prove to be. Every bit as capable, or we might realize, holy cow, we lost more than we thought with Ben Johnson. A lot of the experts are saying the Bears are going to take a dip this year. As you said, they played a weak schedule. They won a lot of games very close. They had an amazing turnover margin. But is all that going to happen this year? We saw what happened to the Commanders. Who got in the playoffs and beat the Lions 2 years ago, knocked them out of the playoffs. And then this last year, the Commanders pretty much disappeared. You got the factor of strength of schedule, you got the factor of injuries that have hurt every team deals with it, but it's hurt the Lions more than I think any other team in the NFL combined the last 2 years. And there's so many unknowns. Kirby Joseph, right now, unknown. Brian Branch, in terms of when he'll return, unknown. Same with Sam Laporta. Will he return to full health? Levi Onwuzurike, who didn't play last year, will he have any impact? Will Aleem McNeil get back to where he was 2 years ago? Who will they draft? Is there depth for real? What will the new offensive coordinator, what will his impact be? Then the
You're
other guy
scaring me,
that.
John.
What's that?
You're scaring me.
Well, if all these fall in the good direction, we're in the Super Bowl, But if all these turn out to be, oh my God, we might be 9-8 again. I can't even say 8-9.
Well, that just shows how far we've come because,
Right.
we used to, and it's not that long ago that we would say, can we just have a winning season, just one
Just get in
winning
the play.
season?
Yeah, right.
Just win more games than you lose.
Yeah,
So
so
we've had four of those in a row now.
I remain so optimistic because I think we got an owner who's doing the right things. I think we have a great GM and head coach. I think there's a great coaching staff overall. And we still have, when you look at the studs we have, Jahmyr Gibbs, we talked about, but Hutchinson and St. Brown and Jameson and Penei Sewell. And we have a collection of players that are all Hall of Famers.
We got a quarterback too.
Quarterback, yes. And a lot of other good players too. I didn't mention Jack Campbell and again Kirby and Brian Branch, depending on their health and their tight end, Sam Laporta.
One player that I'll be interested to see how he does this year is Aiden Hutchinson, because he played well last year, but remember he was coming off of a catastrophic injury from the year before.
That's right.
And even though they say he was healed and recovered, a lot of times it takes a year to get back to where you were. And so I expect him to be better this year than last year.
Bill, I do too. And now you can say the same about McNeil, who was like Pro Bowl level 2 years ago and last year came back. Mid-season and wasn't the same. Yeah, those are significant pieces. I mentioned you before we came on. I think we've got 12 safeties on the roster right now. Well, Again, we don't know, is Kirby Joseph going to be back? And if so, at what strength? Same thing with Brian Branch. How long is it going to take? But if those guys come back and end up toward the second half of the season, getting back to where they were, that's huge for the Lions. Same with Sam Laporta.
Right. We just, for 1 year, can we avoid the injury bug? I mean, I know there's going to be injuries. Excuse me. Some players are going to get injured, but it doesn't have to be as disastrous as it has been for the last 2 years.
Yeah, both your safeties last year, both your tight ends, and so many guys coming back gingerly from the previous year. McNeil,
Right.
Rodriguez, and others.
Well, John, next week you're going to be on your own because I will be in California. My son, David, is the leader of a band that tours all over the country, and they're called the Grey Havens. And my wife, Tracy, and I are going to fly out to LA and see their show. And we have some friends out there we're going to stay with. So you're going to be doing a solo show next week.
Well, I look forward to it. I look forward to you guys having a great time. And I know your son got his start years ago on American Idol and has stayed in the music business and is doing great. Well, you and Tracy are out enjoying that. I think I'm going to bring a special guest on next week, folks. So, well, I think we're going to
Any
be
guests?
better next week, not because you're gone, Bill, but because I've got someone who will be better than me.
I'm being released.
Free agency.
Well,
Anyhow, well, before we go, Bill, what about those Michigan Wolverines basketball team? And
I was just about to say that. Go ahead.
well, again, that was my world. In fact, I just finished reading a book, by the way, about Larry Bird. It's called Heartland, and it's really Larry Bird's whole story. And he and Magic Johnson were a couple of years behind me, but I remember those guys well. I used to go to the NCAA tournament every single year, and I relived a lot of those years reading this book, and really had me in the basketball spirit. And this Michigan team, what they did to Arizona, absolutely dominated them with Michigan's best player sidelined most of that game. They absolutely derailed the team that was number one most of the year. And of course, then beating a very dangerous UConn team to win it all. What a great Final Four it was for University of Michigan fans.
It was, and they scored more points in the five or six games. They scored more points than any team in the history of the NCAA tournament. So,
Right.
in addition to the Wolverines, the Detroit Pistons have secured the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, and it wasn't 2 years ago they lost 67 games. So,
Big turnaround.
yep. Good general manager and good coaching. Picking the right players. So things are going well for Michigan and Detroit sports fans, and we certainly hope that continues this fall with the Lions. Hope they get off to a good start, and looking forward to the draft and talking about that in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and with that, I'm going to keep plugging the movie Draft Day. If you're listening to this, then you're going to love the movie Draft Day if you haven't seen it. So, all right, Bill, well, on behalf of the SHLpodcast.com, that stands for Secondhand Lines, the SHLpodcast.com, that's our website. We're wishing you a good trip next week, and you'll be able to hear the recording of whatever I do next week with my special guest. All right?
All right, you have a good week.
You too. All right. Thanks to all our listeners for joining us. Bye for now.